you're standing up, I just want you to shake things off. If you can sit, if you don't have to, if you can't stand, just sit there and shake. Amen. Amen. Say, I'm shaking things off that don't belong in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you may have your seats. And hopefully once is enough. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 35. We're going to begin there. How many are excited about Revelation? Not the book, but when God turns on a light in your heart and you see something that you've never seen so that you can embrace it, practice it, and run with it. Amen? Well, you're going to get some of that today. Amen? And our theme for September is God is pleased with a prosperous servant. Amen? Say that with me. Say, God is pleased with a prosperous servant. Amen. He really is. And God wants us to prosper. And that means more than just money. He wants you to prosper in your mind. He wants you to prosper in your body. He wants you to prosper in your relationships. He wants you to succeed in life. Amen? And we're going to look at some things that are going to help lay the foundation for this topic this month. Are you ready? And I would encourage you, unless you have a photographic memory, it would behoove you to write down thoughts that stick out, that God speaks to you, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Amen? And I know that there's room in the bulletin for you to write down. And be able to record it so that you can retrieve it. I mean, it's no use recording information that's unretrievable, because then you can never use it. Right? And I know that not everybody's a note taker. I'm a note taker. I learn by taking notes. And I love taking notes. And if you were to see my binders from Bible school, which are 8 binders on loose leaf paper that are full on both sides of the paper. Amen? And I still have them from the 90s. God is good. So God is pleased when you succeed, when it goes well for you, when you increase, okay? And God wants to help you do that. God has a plan, God has a way, and, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go to Psalm 35 and verse 27 and 28. And he is talking here, and he says, let them shout for joy and be glad. You know, shouting for joy and gladness are 2 different levels. Amen? That favor my righteous cause. How many favor God's righteous cause? Okay, he's talking to you. He's saying, let them shout for joy and let them be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say, how long? How often? Continually. Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Did you know that your tongue and your mouth has a lot to do with your prosperity? Notice what this says. Before he ever says what this is about, he wants you to get excited first. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity. Notice God has pleasure in the prosperity of who? His servants. God has pleasure in people who are doing his plan. God has pleasure in the prosperity of people who obey his words. God, this is what a servant of God is. Amen? In John 13, we see Jesus showing us what it means to serve. Okay, we know he girded an apron on him and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And he also instructed his disciples, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the one who serves. And God has pleasure in a servant with that attitude, with that heart, and with that behavior. He is pleased when that servant prospers. He is pleased. He is delighted. Let me read that in some other translations. All right? The NIV says, the Lord be exalted who delights in the well-being of his servant. Say, God delights in my well-being. Okay? Here's the New Living Translation. It says, great is the Lord who enjoys helping his servant. I'm just reading the last part of that. He enjoys helping you. Did you know that God enjoys helping you? And boy, do we need help. Amen? But it's not a burden for God to help you. It's not a burden for God to cheer you along the way. It's not a burden for God to get involved in your life. Because you're going to need help. I'm going to need help at some point. All right? The English version says, he is pleased with the success of his servant. Say, God wants me to succeed. In your endeavors in life, he wants you to succeed. The Darby translation says, who delights, Jehovah be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of his servant. God takes delight when you increase, when you prosper, when you succeed. Okay? And then the Young's literal translation says, Jehovah is magnified who is desiring the peace of his servant. Now that word actually is the word for peace. It's the word shalom. Okay? But did you know that God's peace more than it means more than meets the eye? There's something about God's peace that is greater than just saying, peace, man, or peace be with you. Right? Do you know what this word means? It means to be safe. It means to be well. It means to be happy and friendly. It means to have good welfare. It means health. It means good health. Whoo! It means to be perfect and be at peace. It means to prosper or to rest safely. It means to reciprocate or to be safe in mind, body, and estate. It means to be friendly, to make good. That's from the Strong's Concordance. And Brown and Diggs, they just sum it up. I'm going to read you this summary because this is powerful. This is about the word shalom. When God says peace, it means completeness in number. That means when you go on a job, there's enough supply and enough workers to get the job done. Completeness in number. It means safety and soundness in body. So when God wants you to prosper, it's more than your pocketbook. This word shalom means welfare, health, and prosperity. It means peace, quiet, tranquility, and contentment. It means friendship. It means peace with God. Now, this is important, especially in a covenant relation. It means peace from war or to make peace from. All right? Say, God delights in my prosperity. God is pleased when I prosper. Your prosperity doesn't make God nervous. If it did, I think Jesus would have a hard time feeding more than 5,000 people with a little lunch. He was pleased to increase that lunch box, wasn't he? He said, bring it to me. And he increased it so that he could feed the people. He was serving the people, and God brought increase to that situation. All right, go over to the New Testament, 3 John. 3 John, chapter 2. John wrote this as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Notice what he said in verse 2. Beloved, I wish that maybe sometimes. He didn't say that. I wish what? Above all things, that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Can you hear God's heart, God's desire? Beloved, he's calling you beloved. You're God's beloved. And he's saying, it is my desire for you that you prosper and, everybody say and, be in health as, here's the key, as your soul prospers. All right, well, how does your soul prosper? Your soul includes your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul prospers as the Word of God enters into your mind and it changes the thoughts that were there with something new about God's kingdom. When you receive God's Word into your heart, it changes the way you think, therefore it changes the way you behave, therefore it changes the results that you get in life. That's how your soul prospers. Your soul prospers in conjunction with the Word of God. Amen? Do you believe that that's what God wants for you? Okay? Let me just read you some scriptures about prosperity. All right? And Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. All right? Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. If God didn't want Joshua to succeed, then why would he tell him this? All right? Joshua 1, 7, 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. That's when, that's prospering in your soul. When you're meditating in the Word, how long? Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Not just for 5 minutes. Day and night. Now, he's not saying how much time, but he's saying to at least do it twice a day. Amen? Okay. That you meditate in it day and night so that you may be careful to observe everything written in it, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Did not God give Joshua keys to succeed? That came from the Lord himself, okay? He was telling a servant, Joshua. Joshua served the Lord. He served Moses. He fought battles for Moses. He was Moses' attendant. He protected Moses. He hung out when Moses went to the tabernacle. Joshua was there. When Moses went to the mountain, Joshua was there. Everywhere that Moses went, there was Joshua. And God told him he was about to lead people into the promised land. He was about to divide the inheritance. He's about to conquer these kings and divide the inheritance. And God's giving him the keys to succeed. Notice it didn't say about your position. It didn't say about your location. It didn't say about whether or not you came from the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. It has everything to do with your relationship with the Word. I'm going to tell you something about the Bible. The Bible can bring increase to your life. No matter where you are, you could be in the middle of the desert. You could be on a snow-capped mountain. You could be in the middle of the sea. And this book right here can bring increase to your life. The Bible is not limited by geography. The Bible is not limited by race. The Bible is not limited by governments or boundaries. It can cause you to prosper anywhere you go, in anything that you do, in any situation in life. You want to look at some of these situations? All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Oh, and I do want to read another scripture. As you're turning to Genesis 12, the last part of 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will prosper. See, here's the thing. There's a lot of different views about prosperity. Some are good. Some are not so good. Some don't think it can ever happen to me. Or some think you have to be someone or do something in life that's unlike you. No. Prosperity is a word the Bible uses. Amen? And the people that God used, he also prospered. Okay? So, in looking at the truth, we're going to sift out the false. Amen? When I used to work in the bank, I understood that, you know, there is counterfeit money in this world. Money that the U.S. Treasury does not back, right? And there are experts in the government. They don't spend their time looking at the false. They spend their time looking at the real. And they become so familiar with the real that they can easily detect a counterfeit. Amen? And I want you to be so familiar with what God says about this that when you hear something that's counterfeit or not true, I want you to be able to recognize it quickly. Amen? Are you here this morning? All right, Genesis chapter 12. Bishop David Oyedepo says this. He said that the platform for prosperity is God's covenant. I like that. And God's covenant is something that you enter into with God. God initiates it, you respond to it, and then God activates it in your life. Amen? And as long as you have a covenant, you can prosper in this country, you can prosper in a third world country, you can prosper wherever you go, because your prosperity is based on your knowledge of the covenant, nothing else. It is based in the Word of God. All right? Now, let's look at this story because this is important. I saw some things in here that I never saw before. Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abram, what did God do right there? He spoke to Abram, right? He gave him his word, didn't he? The word was, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Okay? God's word to Abraham, we know he's Abram there, but he's Abraham now, was to get out from where you are. How many know that sometimes to have what God wants you to have, you got to leave what you know? And you got to venture into the unknown. Okay? And he did this because God told him, period. He had no other reason to leave where he was other than God said it. Okay? So God told him what to do. Then God told him what he promised him. Verse 2. I will make you of a great nation. Do you think a great nation is poor? When you think of a great nation, do you think of a poor nation? Who's going to make Abraham into this great nation? God. Based on Abraham's response to God's covenant. Okay? I will bless you. Who's going to bless him? God. Say, God's my source. It doesn't matter what avenue he uses. God is the blesser. All right? Blessing comes from God. And God is guaranteeing to Abraham that he is going to bless him. All right? And make your name great. Abraham didn't have to wonder how he was going to become famous. God made him famous. Abraham's been in heaven for years, and we still talk about Abraham. He's famous. The Lord promised that he would make his name great. And God fulfilled his word, didn't he? Okay. And you shall be a blessing. Why does God bless people? He blesses them to enjoy life, but he also blesses them to be a blessing. How many know you can't be a blessing unless you're blessed? If someone who needs food comes to your house to get food, there has to be food in your house for you to give them food, right? I mean, if you went to knock on Mother Hubbard's cupboard, she could not help you. Why? There's no food in Mother Hubbard's house. She went to the cupboard and the cupboard was bare. She had nothing to give. See, what enables you to give? It is the blessing. The blessing is an empowerment. The blessing is an endowment. The blessing is God's power and strength working in you in such a way to cause things to happen in your life. The blessing is not just reserved when someone sneezes. But that's how we use it mostly. Oh, bless you, because your heart stops when you sneeze. I mean, if we really understood what that means, what are we saying to that person? Think about it. You're empowered to prosper. You're empowered to increase. You can push a blessed person down 100 times, and 100 times they'll just pop right back up. Why? Because that's how the blessing works. You can't keep a blessed man down. You can't keep a blessed woman down. We're going to see this. Hallelujah. Okay? And I will bless them that bless you. Listen, if God's in the blessing business, he blesses people that bless you. But if people mess with you, God says, I will curse those who curse you. So if someone curses you, know that God is cursing them. God will take the curse of the curser and put it right back on him. Okay? And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Whoa. God is going to take one man and bless the entire earth with. When you think about how vast the earth is, how can God take one man and bless earth? Because he's God. Everything he does increases. Everything he touches becomes more. Everything that he does is good. Okay, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So he embraced God's covenant. The conditions were, okay, you need to go. The promise was, I'm going to bless you, but you're not going to be blessed until you go. But if you go, I'm going to bless you. So Abraham responded to the covenant and he went. Pretty simple, isn't it? God spoke, Abraham heard, and Abraham did, period. Guess what? Right then in that moment, the blessing is activated in Abraham's life. The blessing is working, the blessing is moving, and everywhere Abraham goes, that blessing goes with him. Whether he goes to Haran, whether he goes to Bethel, whether he goes to anywhere, he's blessed. Because the blessing is not going to leave him unless he turns his back on God. Now, get this. Abraham was how old? Now, wait a minute now. At 75 years old, Abraham didn't retire. He started a brand new venture. If you think it's hard moving at 25, try moving when you're 75. I'm talking about your house. Amen? Imagine how much stuff you've accumulated at the age of 75. And here, God, can you prosper when you're 75? Amen. Age has nothing to do with whether or not you prosper. It has nothing to do with it. 75 years old. First of all, what's a 75-year-old living at home anyway? No, I'm just kidding. Because he said, leave his father's house. Why are you still at your father's house, Abraham? I just thought that was funny. 75 years old, he enters into a covenant with God. And he's walking to places where he has never gone. What did the Lord say? You go, and I'm going to show you where you're going. Listen, Abraham didn't have a GPS. Abraham didn't have MapQuest. All Abraham had was God's positioning system, right? He had to rely on the voice of God to go where he was going to go, to live where he was going to live. He had to rely on God talking to him. He had to have a relationship with God. Amen? This will all make sense. You're going to see how this is key to our prosperity, okay? And so, verse 5, Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. That word souls is servants, okay? Haran was the name of Abraham's brother who died. Abraham's father couldn't get past Haran, but God needed Abraham to get past Haran. Amen? Sometimes things in life happen and you don't think you can overcome them. You can. Amen? Okay. And he went into Canaan, and Abraham passed through the land there. And let's go down to verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto your seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord and appeared to him. Notice, what was God going to give him now? Land. I mean vast land. Not just a garden in the backyard. Okay? I'm talking land that encompasses other nations. Countries. Did you hear about the pro golfer that was invited to Saudi Arabia by the Saudi king to teach him how to play golf? So the pro golfer went. He taught the Saudi king how to play golf. They worked on his game. And the Saudi person said, I want to give you something for teaching me this. What can I give you? And the guy says, well, I have everything I need. He said, but I've never had a golden golf club. And the Saudi king said, okay. A few weeks later, the pro golfer was at home. He got a package in the mail. And this package, when he opened it, was delivered to him. It was a deed, a title deed to a golf club course, a golf course. How many know that when you're dealing, kings think differently about a golf club than a person does? The king gave an entire golf course to this pro golfer for teaching him how to play golf. Amen? This is how God thinks. Okay? Now, so Abraham builds an altar. He worships God. Let me speed this up a bit. There comes a famine in the land of Canaan. And Abraham goes down to Egypt to live there for until the famine finishes. Okay? So he's in Egypt, and he tells his wife Sarah, now, when we go to Egypt, honey, I want you to tell them that you're my sister so that they'll treat me well. What Abraham did was wrong, okay? I want you to see what Abraham did was wrong, but I want you to see how the blessing worked in his life, okay? If you read the story, Pharaoh's princes, several people were talking about how beautiful Sarah was at 65 years old. She was 10 years younger than Abraham. Okay? And I mean, the Bible says that Abraham acquired stuff in Egypt. Do you know where he got that stuff? Pharaoh favored Abraham for Sarah's behalf. And I've read commentaries on this. Pharaoh was paying Abraham a dowry to marry Sarah. Because Pharaoh thought that Sarah was his sister. Every one of Abraham's servants said that Sarah was his sister because he probably trained all of them to say this thing. It was wrong. It was deceitful. He was hiding the truth. Okay? And then let's read this. Okay? Let's read this. Go down to verse 17. Okay, this is why I say this. The Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. All right? And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is it that you have done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so I might have taken her to me to wife?" It was customary in that day to pay a dowry to the family member, and that's probably what he did. Because Pharaoh would have married her had the Lord not interfered. Okay? I mean, the Lord brought plagues. That was a future thing to come in Egypt too. Now notice this now. Take her and go your way. End of verse. Look at verse 20. Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him that they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Did Abraham suffer a loss in Egypt? No. Did he do what he was supposed to do? No. That's not an excuse. Okay? Well, God blessed Abraham because he sinned, so I'm just going to sin and God is going to bless me. No. Uh-uh. How many know that God blesses us in spite of our foolishness sometimes? In spite of our mistakes and choices that we make? It was the blessing of Abraham that caused him to leave Egypt with all of his stuff intact. Amen? It was the blessing working that God promised him. Okay? Now, look at chapter 13 and look at verse 2. And Abram was what? All right, can we all say that? Let's say it all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Abraham was very rich. Okay, one more time. Let's all say that together. Abraham was very rich. All right, one more time. Abraham was very rich. Was God upset that he was rich? Who made him rich? You think Abraham was that smart to make all that money himself? No, I mean, if he lied about his wife, he'd have done some other foolish things too. He probably wasn't that great of a businessman. But it was the blessing that God had given him because he accepted God's covenant that was working in him. And it caused him to increase. It caused him, I mean, Pharaoh could have kept the stuff. Pharaoh could have confiscated all of his stuff. But look at the favor that Abraham had in Pharaoh's court. Look at the things that Pharaoh was giving. I mean, he was showing goodness to those who bless you. What's going to happen? I'm going to bless you. Those who curse you, I'm going to curse you. Now, Pharaoh didn't curse Abraham. Pharaoh blessed Abraham. All right, go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. I'm going to bring how this all works together. Okay? Are you with me? Are you awake? Are you learning something? Okay, we have the story of Jacob and Esau. And let's go down to verse 10. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went out toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. Now, if you all complain about a hard bed, try sleeping on pillows. I mean stones, right? Can we read that again? He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Can you sleep anywhere? You know, part of being blessed is the ability to sleep anywhere, anytime you need, right? My brother-in-law, Ron, he has an amazing talent. That boy can sleep anywhere, sitting up, laying down, with the light on, with noise all around. That boy can sleep. And he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, okay, now God is taking the same covenant that he made with Abraham. And he is taking the same covenant and he's giving it to Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Okay? I skipped Isaac for a reason. We're going to get to Isaac in just a minute. Okay, the Lord said, I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie, to you will I give it, and unto your seed. Okay, so here we see God giving Jacob land. All right, I'm not talking about a garden in the backyard. I'm talking about countries, nations. All right, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Is that a lot? You think there's a lot of dust in the earth? Well, that's how Israel's seed is going to be, as the dust. That's a lot. All right? And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you and will keep you in the places where you go. Who's going to keep Jacob? Is he only going to keep him in that place? God is going to keep him wherever he goes, wherever he puts his foot, wherever he lays down on his rocks, right? God is going to be with him. God is going to keep him. Doesn't matter where he goes, as long as he is serving God, as long as he is doing what God wants, as long as he is doing God's will, these promises are his forever. And I will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of you, or to you. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Amen? See, some of you come to church, then you finally wake up and you realize the Lord is in this place, and you didn't realize it. I'm only kidding, all right? And so he sets up a pillar there and he anoints it with oil and he calls this place Bethel, which means the house of God. And go down to verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, nothing missing, nothing broken, complete, healthy, wealthy, wise. All right. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you shall give me, I will surely give you a tenth unto you. So Jacob vows to give God a tithe of everything that comes to him, as long as he keeps him safe, he feeds him, he keeps him clothed, he keeps him, you know, and he brings him back. Amen? How many know that God will keep his covenant? We don't ever have to worry about God's side of the covenant being unfulfilled. It's always our side of the covenant that is a little iffy. We are the variable in God's covenant. God's covenant doesn't change, but sometimes we get some stupid ideas. Man, and we do stupid things. So, to make a long story short, Jacob, his father sends him away, and he comes across the love of his life, and he meets Rachel, who is a shepherdess. And from the moment Jacob saw Rachel, I mean, there was a spark there. He knew that that was the girl for him. And it just so happened to be his mother's brother's daughter. Okay? And his uncle was named was Laban. And Jacob starts working for Laban. Now keep in mind, the blessing is on Jacob. All right? God's covenant is working on Jacob. Things are happening in Jacob's life. And he comes across, he introduces himself to Rachel, and the family's glad to see him because it's one of their kinsmen. And Laban said, you know, you should come and work for me. All right, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going quickly. And Jacob said, okay. And Laban said, what should be your wages? He said, oh, I want to marry your daughter, Rachel. So Laban enters into an agreement with Jacob. He said, I want you to work for me 7 years. Now, you know it's true love. Amen? When you're willing to work 7 years for the girl that you love. Okay? And so Jacob says, okay, I'll work for you 7 years. And as soon as his time was up, you know, he was all excited. 7 years had gone by. He was, you know, he was thinking about Rachel when he was taking care of those sheep and all this stuff. And then the day comes when he gets married. And he goes in to seal the deal. And he wakes up the next morning only to find that it was not Rachel. It was her sister, Leah. And Jacob was, he was like, Laban, what did you do to me? And Laban said, well, it's not customary for us to marry the younger daughter before the older daughter. And Jacob was probably thinking, you probably should have told me that 7 years ago. Why'd you keep that information from me? And so Laban said, look, finish this week's celebration, and I'll give you Rachel also, but you got to work for me for another 7 years. So when the week was ended, Jacob finally got Rachel, and they were married. And so now he worked for Laban another 7 years. So Laban got Jacob for 14 years now. All right? And so Jacob was deceived. Can the blessing work when you're deceived? Now, Jacob wasn't the one deceiving at this point in his life. He was the one being deceived. Okay? So, God's blessing can turn around the deception of the enemy. All right? So, if you go to Genesis chapter 30, verse 27. All right? Genesis 30, 27. Okay, Laban said unto him, I pray that if I have favor in your eyes, stay, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for what? Laban is testifying that he increased because Jacob was working for Laban, and the blessing was on Jacob. Laban didn't know why he was increasing. He just knew that when Jacob was working for him, he had more sheep than what he started with. The blessing was working on Jacob. No matter where you are, no matter who you work for, the blessing will work. Okay? So Laban is testifying to this. Jacob caused Laban to increase greatly. It was the blessing on his life. Okay? And so now they enter into a new agreement. He said, okay, what should I pay you, Jacob? Just stay with me a little bit longer. What should I pay you? And Jacob said, okay, I'll tell you what. You give me all the speckled, spotted sheep and goats and all the brown lambs. And Laban said, okay. So you know what Laban did? What a scoundrel. Laban took all the female and male spotted and speckled sheep and goats and all the brown lambs, and he took them with his sons and put 3 days' journey in between them and Jacob. Now, How difficult is it to have spotted and speckled sheep when all the male and female spotted and speckled sheep are gone? Okay? But let me tell you something. The blessing will overcome insurmountable odds. The blessing can overcome no matter what one tries to do to you. You will pop up and say, I'm blessed. So, God gave Jacob a dream. He tells about the dream in Genesis 31. He implements the dream in Genesis 30. The dream was that he saw spotted and speckled lambs and sheep just running and leaping. And so, yeah, Laban took all the spotted and speckled and brown sheep away, which was Jacob's wages. Okay? So Jacob, God gave this idea to Jacob. Why do you think God gave that idea to Jacob? God wants him to prosper. So God gave him a way so that he could prosper. He showed him something that no one knew, that no one ever thought of, and it worked because God led him into it. So when the sheep would come, they'd come to the water trough, right? And they would mate there. So Jacob, he stripped some sticks, right? So you know when the bark is stripped, it looks like a barber's pole, right? You got the red, white, red, white, red, white. Okay, he would put those sticks in front of the watering trough. The sheep would see it. Bah. They'd be, bah. They'd see these things. And only when the strong sheep came there, he would put these up. Then the sheep that came there started having spotted and speckled and brown kids because they saw spots and speckles when they're drinking water. But when the weak sheep would come, Jacob wouldn't put those up there. Okay? This went on for 6 years. 6 years. Okay? Now, so God gave him this idea, and go to Genesis 31:1. Genesis 31:1. I'm trying to wrap this up here. Okay, Laban's sons testified that Jacob took all of Laban's stuff and acquired all of his wealth. But Laban's sons didn't know that it was God working in Jacob. They thought he stole it. When it was them who took the sheep 3 days away. And they're blaming Jacob that he stole their father's stuff. No, God did a transfer. I mean, who would have thought to put peeled sticks in front of sheep to get what you want? And then Jacob noticed Laban's countenance toward him had changed. Instead of a smile, he was like, you know, they'd be at breakfast and Laban would be, smoke would be coming out of his nose like a bull, you know. And verses 7 to 9 in Genesis 31, Laban changed Jacob's wages 10 times. And God prevented Laban from hurting Jacob when Jacob left and Laban didn't know about it. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how many times your wages are changed. The blessing will still work for you. The blessing will cause you to come out on top in the end. You cannot keep a blessed man down. Why? God is pleased with the prosperity of his servants. Okay, Jacob worked for Laban a total of 20 years. 14 years he worked for Rachel and Leah, and 6 years he worked for his flocks. And the Bible says that Jacob became prosperous and increased, he became very prosperous. Can you say amen? All right. Now let's go to Genesis 26 really quick. Genesis 26, verses 14. We have the story of Isaac. Isaac, there was a famine like in the days of his father Abraham. And Isaac was in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to Isaac in Gerar, and he revealed himself. He said, I am the Lord God. He said, let me find it here. Yeah, he said, the Lord appeared to him and told him not to go down to Egypt. He would have gone to Egypt because that's where his daddy went when there was a famine. All right? But he says, live where I tell you. How many know it's important to be where God says be? Right? Okay. And I will be with you. I will bless you. Your descendants will be as the stars of heaven. God wanted Isaac to obey his voice like his father Abraham. And you got to keep God's charge, God's commandments, God's statutes, and God's laws. Say, I keep God's word. That's our part of the covenant. Our part of is keeping his word, doing what he says. Amen? And let me tell you, if you don't do what's written, you're not going to do what he tells you. If you think that you can skip what's written in the Bible and not do it, then don't expect God to tell you anything else, because he's not going to. All right? And so Isaac sowed there where God told him to be. And in the same year, the Bible says that he reaped 100-fold. Now, that was not normal for that area. Okay? And here's what the Bible says in Genesis 26, verse 13. Isaac began to prosper, continued prospering, until he became very prosperous, possessing flocks, herds, servants, and he prospered so much so the Philistines envied him. Amen? And King Abimelech, who was the king of Gerar, he went to Isaac and said, you have too much stuff, you need to go. I am not going to have someone in my kingdom having more stuff than me, and I'm the king. Can you imagine? God took a herdsman who took care of sheep and cows and donkeys and camels and made him more to have more than the king. Notice, he began to prosper. He continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Young people, this is important for you. It's important to get this right now. Now, go to Galatians 3:13 and let's wrap this all up. Okay? Galatians 3:13. Let's wrap this all up. Are you excited? Got your shouting clothes on. Now, do you realize the same blessing that was on Abraham, is the same blessing that was on Isaac, is the same blessing that was on Jacob, is the same blessing that can be on us right now. Okay. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you didn't finish that sentence, just know that you're redeemed from the curse. Amen? If the devil tries to curse you, say, ha ha, devil, I dare you. It's not going to amount to anything. Okay? That's what Brother Hagin did. Some witch tried to put a curse on him. He looked at that witch and laughed and said, I double dog dare you. Because he knew who he was. He knew his covenant. Amen? You can't curse the covenant. Balaam tried it and it turned into a blessing. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. There are some things that shouldn't prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Your enemy will not prosper against you. There's some things that shouldn't prosper, that won't prosper. Christ has redeemed us. Not going to, already has. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone who hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me tell you, friends, we are blessed with the same blessing that was on Abraham, that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter who we're with, that blessing is going to work in us to prosper us, to increase us, and to cause us to succeed. I want to be in this blessing. I am in this blessing. But we have to walk like we're blessed. How does a blessed person walk? Well, how does a person who just won the Super Bowl look? Can you imagine a team in the locker room? They're going, woohoo. What'd you do? We just won the Super Bowl. Woohoo. Yeah. I have never, ever seen a locker room like that after winning the Super Bowl. Amen? But we Christians, we start talking about the goodness of God. Oh, yeah, he's good. Praise his name. Oh, yeah. Yeah, God, you're good. Y'all need some life in you. We got to get excited about the things of God. Do you realize that under the covenant, you cannot lose? Never, ever, 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 ever. The devil can't get an advantage over you. The devil can't beat you. Under the covenant, when you're protected by the covenant, when you're walking in the covenant, there's a shield about you. God shows himself strong on your behalf. You can prosper when you're 80. You can prosper when you're 10. Come on. Jesus as a baby. People are giving him gold, frankincense, and myrrh as a baby. He prospered as a baby. Moses didn't get started in the ministry until he was 80. 80 years old, he's going before Pharaoh, climbing mountains without a cane or binoculars. He's looking across the promised land without help. 120 years old, Abraham. He has his first child at age 100. Then Sarah dies, and he goes on to have six more. I'm telling you, when you're blessed, you're blessed. And then it will work for you. Wherever you go, in whatever situation you find yourself, God wants you to prosper in your soul, in your body. Can you see your body prospering? Can you see strength coming to your bones? Can you see diseases fleeing your presence? The diseases are packing up saying, I'm getting out of this house. Why? Because there's some, the blessing has come in this house. And when the blessing comes in, it will kick out everything that is not part of it. This church is blessed. We're a blessed people. You're a blessed individual. Why? Because you have a covenant with God. And you know this covenant. And you have knowledge of this covenant. And you walk in this covenant. How many are ready to prosper today? God wants you to prosper in your minds. If you've been bombarded by the thoughts of the enemy, it's time to stand up and tell him to shut up in the name of Jesus. It's time to stand up and say, I don't care what you tell me, devil. I'm not who you say you are. I am whom he says I am. You got to declare who you are in Christ. God will heal you today. And once we get up, why do we need to prosper? Because there's a lot of work to be done. And the Al Capones of this world aren't going to give to the gospel. The drug lords of this world aren't going to give to the gospel. The professional liars aren't going to give to this gospel. There's a work to be done. There's people to be reached. Guess what? The gospel is free, but the pipeline, it costs money. Amen? That's why we need to prosper. We need to prosper so that we can be full participants of the end time harvest. We're entering into harvest time right now. In just a couple weeks, farmers are going to fire up those combines, and they're going to go into the fields, and they're going to reap what they sowed. What they sowed was one seed, but what came up was multiplied seeds in comparison to the one that was sown. God brought increase, but the farmer has to go out into the field and get it. The harvest doesn't bring it. The harvest doesn't say, can you see the corn just picking itself up and running into the barn? Wouldn't that be nice? But guess what? When your harvest comes, you still have to reap it. You can't do nothing and expect the harvest to come into you. You got to do something. Now, as a covenant server for God, you also have to be a covenant giver, a covenant liver. In other words, you live your life based on the covenant of God. In other words, you live your life based on his standards, not yours, not someone else's. You live because this is what God says is right. This is what God says is right. There is a right and there is a wrong. And thank God for that clerk in Kentucky that stood up for what is right. Amen. And be willing to go to prison for it. That's what you know, that someone believes what they believe when they're willing to be going to prison for it. That's gumption. I like that. Now, how do you believe God wants to prosper you? I've given you lots of examples today. I'm going to give you more throughout this month. Amen? Now it's time to receive. There is a harvest of prosperity right here, right now. It has everything to do with what God said in his word, and it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do with where you work. It has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with your faith in God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God took these men. They are our heritage. They are considered our fathers in the faith. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of three wealthy men who served him. And God promoted them. And God speaks well of them. And God honors them. If you ever were offered a raise on your job, how many people do you know that were offered a raise and said, oh, no, thanks, boss, you're paying me enough? If you've accepted a raise in any job that you've worked at, you believe in prosperity. Otherwise, you wouldn't have taken the raise if you don't believe in it. Is that not true? If you've ever changed jobs to get better benefits, you believe in prosperity. Otherwise, you wouldn't have changed jobs to get better benefits. You would have said, oh, I'm just going to make it with what I have. No. There is within every heart a desire to increase, a desire to experience what we think is the good life. And let me tell you something. You can, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like Jacob. Prosperity belongs to us. God will give you creative ideas to make money. When you're young and when you're older, it doesn't matter. Do you think God is cared about money when he paves his street with the purest gold? That's so pure, it's like crystal. Do you think that God does not want people to wear that? I mean, think about it. He makes gates of pearls. He puts all the gems on the priest's breastplate. He sits in a throne room covered and made out of gold. We can prosper right now. So let's prosper. If you need to prosper in your mind, in your body, in your pocketbook, in your relationships, then today is for you. I want you to come up here right now, and I want you to enter in to God's covenant and receive what he's given you in the name of Jesus. God is good. Yeah. You're about to get a shower of power. God's about to douse you with revelation so that you can have a revolution in your life. It's revelation that makes a revolution. So, Father, right now, rain it on her in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now that you take pleasure in the prosperity of your servant. Prosper her in every way, in every area of life, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now that the power prosper is working in her mightily, in her body. I call her body strong. I call her body in line. I call her body healed and whole in the name of Jesus. I declare that Jehovah.